Hello and welcome to the An Inspired Life podcast. This is the home of spiritual and also really raw human conversations that inspire us to stop talking about spirituality and actually live our divine truth. My name is Kiara O'Leary. I'm a divine change agent, a devoted stand for the undiluted divine power within each of us, and your host. Every week I speak to an inspiring thought leader from around the world in an unscripted, we have no idea where it's going, totally intuitively guided conversation to bring you practical tips that you can apply immediately to create powerful shifts in your life. Each episode is also a potent transmission that will raise your vibration simply by listening. I'm honored to share with you this week's guest, Alison Braun. She's the business joyologist, and she helps people get what they want by being who they are. She helps her clients build a business that allows them to feel sustained, free, and that also allows them to make a difference while letting go of all of the stuff they are so not into. In this episode, we talked about getting what you want in this moment, right now. We discussed the third pathway that Alison teaches, how you can honor your body and yourself more and allow your income to naturally grow as well. How to find the balance between enjoying the present moment and intentionally creating your desired future. How the feeling state you live in changes your electromagnetic field, and then that affects everyone else's around you and the world around you as well. The trap of manifesting and visualizing in order to attract what you want or block what you don't want, and how you can actually find everything that you desire by coming back to the present moment. How your specific visualizations could be blocking what you actually desire. How to identify what you really want and not what others want you to want. How to invite more pleasure into every moment. How we all have this upper limit around how good we think it's safe to feel, and how to keep raising that bar so it doesn't stop us from the good feels that we actually deserve. The comfort zone in personal and spiritual development, where we feel more safe and more comfortable working on our stuff than just enjoying life. How our ego uses what we value to trick us into staying right where we are. Dropping the need for struggle as a badge of honor. How to really stick to your boundaries around what you know serves you and trust that that's the greatest good for all. This episode was such a transmission of pleasure, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Listen up.
Thank you so much, Alison, for coming to do this podcast with me. I am so excited to hear what has been happening with you since we spoke last. It sounds like you are downloading so much juicy goodness from the universe or infinite intelligence or whatever you would like to call that beautiful energy within and around all of us. So what has been happening for you lately?
There's been a really big shift in who... I shouldn't say shift. I'm opening the doors to supporting people that I hadn't really been calling in before, that I feel like I am being called to start serving. So for those of you who don't know, in the past I had been working primarily with women who identified as being very intuitive, you know, a lot of healers, a lot of coaches, a lot of empaths who are highly sensitive and who want to really operate their business from the feminine. And that's actually their more natural tendency, but they just kind of need that permission to like dance into it a little bit more. And that's been amazing and I love it. But I'm actually starting to call in more people around me who are really, really powerful business owners that operate a lot in, you know, the... I'm having a hard time saying masculine and feminine, so I don't really know what other words I want to use yet, so I'm just being really honest about that right now. Those are typically the words that I would use, but I'm going to go with like right and left brained for the moment. Mm-hmm. So who are really, you know, right brained, you know, they're really action oriented and they're really hitting this place of overworking. And they're kind of at that brink of burnout. And it's like there's these two, they're at a crossroads essentially. And one path is like, okay, I want to reach this next level of success, these new goals in my business. And the only way that I see doing that is working even harder. And right now that does not seem like an option that I want to take. But the other path seems terrifying because the only way that I see things like slowing down and taking care of myself is my income stopping and my business like losing momentum, which also doesn't feel good. And so they're like at this crossroads where neither path feels really true for them. And so I feel really excited about creating this third pathway where they're actually enjoying their life even more. They're honoring their body, they're honoring their relationships and everything in their life. And their income actually either maintains or continues to grow as a result of that. So basically showing them a new possibility that feels a little bit scary, but is actually going to increase their business in the long run and in the short term too.
Amazing. I love your very clear understanding of your ideal client. In the business world, we're always like, how do I get closer to my ideal client and how do I understand them better? And you were like so spot on that anyone who ever hears that is going to be like, that's me. Like they're going to know so clearly. So I love that. Congratulations. I have like a little bit of like entrepreneur crush on you right now just for just for sharing that. But I would love to know, what do you feel is that third path? What do you feel is work less and have more of an impact and make more money?
It encompasses a lot, and it's all very, also very simple. So it's kind of interesting to explain it in a way that is both of those things all together, the duality. So that path for me really looks like getting very present and enjoying every moment of life a lot more through that presence, because I feel like most of us have been sacrificing our enjoyment and pleasure, especially as we navigate business, you know, regardless of what type of person we are. Like there's this idea, this underlying belief system that, you know, I have to work harder to really be worthy of what I desire, be deserving, or to be enough, to be loved even, to make money. There's these belief systems that kind of lay there that it's like, okay, I'm just gonna like, I have to get my hands dirty. You know, I have to, you know, sacrifice in order to get what I want and to have what I want and to feel what I want. So this other pathway to me is like, how can we start feeling the way that we want to feel now in every moment and also have this simultaneous trust and knowing that by doing that, we actually will also reach our bigger goal. So it's not like this passive thing where we aren't growing things and we aren't, you know, continuously evolving and expanding our businesses, because we're humans. And I don't know about you, but I love business. So it would feel like kind of cutting off an arm if it was like, okay, like, you know, don't even worry about that. I'm like, I can't not, because it's something that I care so much about. So it's like finding that balance of like knowing that enjoying the moment, whatever I'm being guided to do, and trusting that that actually is going to have a long-term and short-term reward. But even if there wasn't, I'm still enjoying the moment. Because I think we have this idea that it's like, okay, I need to set this big goal and I need to sacrifice to get there. Work hard to get there. And what I'm proposing in this other pathway is actually like going inwards, which I know you're such an advocate of, Kara. It's like, okay, like how can I start like having spaciousness in my life? Spaciousness is a really big piece. I feel like we can't really integrate growth. We can't celebrate. We can't receive. We can't learn if we don't have the space in our life to really do that. So spaciousness is a really big piece of my work, creating space to actually receive the guidance, to tap in, to listen to our higher selves. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm being guided to do next. Oh, this is like the vision, the calling that I want to follow, rather than the superficial goal that I feel like I should work towards because Sally over here is working on it and Joe over here is working on it. So I guess that's what I should do. But it's like coming from this place of calling. That's what I'm going to work towards. But in the journey, I'm going to keep listening to my intuition. I'm going to keep enjoying myself. I'm going to keep feeling the way that I want to feel. I'm going to continue to embody what I want for the people in my life. for my clients, for my community, rather than stressing out, sacrificing and suffering, and then trying to promote this message of joy or pleasure or happiness or whatever it might be. It's like, no, let's just live it. And as a result of that, we will reap more reward than what we could ever fathom.
Yes, because the feeling state is the prayer. It's how we command the universe. So it's one of like my favorite things ever to talk about. And if anyone has not heard of Greg Braden's work, I really recommend that you go and check him out. Have you read The Divine Matrix? No. Or any? Oh my God, you would love it so much, Alison. Greg Braden, 2 G's at the end there. So he is an incredible man. He has really terrible hair, but I still have an absolute crush on him because he's like bridging science and spirituality, and his research into like ancient texts as well as like leading edge science is showing us that all of the things that we've been talking about in terms of spirituality are actually now being supported, and that we've known them for thousands of years, but the human race kind of forgot them and pushed them down and hid them in some cases as well. And he once went to a monastery, and it was like one of those ones where you had to go like through this like river that didn't, you know, like they could have like lost the car in the river and all this like huge journey to get there. I think he said it took him like 10 days to get there. And then he sat down with a translator and the abbot from the monastery, and he said, when you're doing this, like when we watch your prayers for 14 hours a day and you're chanting and you're like bowing and making noises with the like drums or whatever it is that they're doing, what's going on inside for you while you're doing, like while we watch you do your prayers? And the abbot like just looked at him and said, you've never seen our prayers. Our prayers are not any of those things. They are the things that we do to generate the feeling, and the feeling is the prayer. And that feeling state literally changes our electromagnetic field, science has shown us, which then interacts with everyone else's electromagnetic field, and our feeling state is changing the world around us. And so if we start from that place, like every morning when I get in the shower, I just like invite in so much pleasure, because I know that me doing that actually creates my day to have so much more pleasure. And like, yeah, so I'm a huge advocate, and I'm so excited that you've opened up this can of worms that we get to talk about. When you feel it inside, you're literally telling the universe, I want more of this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And I posted the other day a somewhat controversial thing, because I think, I mean, yes, I'm kind of talking about goals and, you know, we all have them, so to speak. But the interesting thing about kind of like the law of attraction, stuff like that, it is all focused on like, I'm going to do this so that I can get or have that. It's very like future oriented. And the cool thing about feeling the way that we want to feel now is like, that's all we have. We only have this moment. That's the only thing that's guaranteed. So it's like, you're already successful, you know, like winning, it's already happening. So it's such a beautiful, powerful thing that benefits everyone when we're really operating from that place of enjoyment or happiness or whatever it is that you're really wanting to feel in any given moment.
That is so spot on. I feel like most people enter the path of spirituality at some point, either because they had like a crisis. Actually, it doesn't really matter how they enter, but I think they enter because they're like, this is how I can get more of what I want. This is how I can avoid what I don't want. And so we do manifesting and visualization as, and I can speak only because I've done it, right? But we do it in a way that's like, I'm going to do this for 2 minutes a day, and I'm going to visualize. And if I don't, then I won't create what I want. So there's like a fear, like that God will punish us or something if we don't create, like if we don't do the things. But there's also very much this energy of like, I'm doing this to get what I want. which doesn't actually feel as good as if we just feel the feeling because it feels so good, knowing that it then programs the universe around us. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is just the feeling good in that moment. And then whatever comes, like, because if we, sorry, I get so excited about this stuff. Yeah, because if we are like, oh, universe, I would like this house on the beach and I'm going to feel the feelings of that house on the beach, then like we're kind of constricting all of the amazing juiciness that we can allow in. But if we feel amazing juiciness of what we think it would be like to be in the house on the beach, like just the feeling of the freedom or the relaxation, and we feel that, then the universe can bring us whatever is the best way for us to receive that. And it could be better than the house on the beach. We leave our options open. So I wanted you to get as controversial as possible about that stuff. I'm so excited that you're speaking out about that. How do you balance in your own life the like desire to have something and like wanting goals and even like a feeling of a calling and this just giving it all up and being okay with like whatever is happening in the moment and focusing on the feeling in the moment? How do you balance that?
I will start off by saying like I have the most common feeling that I would say I've had in my life is kind of like that tug of war of wanting like this really simple life where I don't really need much. And then wanting like my beach home and my, this home and, you know, luxurious, wonderful living.
All the things.
Like, they're both these like lovely lifestyles. And sometimes I like pivot back and forth, I'm like, oh, what do I want? And so finding that balance of goals has definitely been something that's, you know, come up for me and like really navigating what do I really want and why do I want it? Why is this important to me? So especially in the business world, which is, you know, my primary world, it seems like a lot of the time, it's so easy to get caught up in other people's desires and wants, either for us or for themselves. And we're like, it can get so sneaky how it like sneaks in is like, oh, this is what you want. This is what you want. And so finding that balance for me has been a lot of like continuous check-in of like, what do I want? Why do I want it? How do I associate feeling with that? And how can I continue just focusing on that feeling rather than the goal as much as possible? And trusting, for me, it's been a big journey of trust, like trust in God and trust in Source, that by me enjoying my life as much as possible, by me experiencing as much pleasure as possible, without, while also being like really consciously aware of like, where am I resisting things? Where am I being passive? Where am I not taking guided action? Because I think that's another common misconception is when we're taking this path that we're not taking action, you know, we're being kind of like passive or maybe even lazy or just like kind of avoiding things. Especially when I'm talking about pleasure, a lot of people associate pleasure with like laziness or avoidance or indulgence.
And chocolate. Chocolate, lovemaking, that's what I associate with pleasure. But there's that pleasure that can come from literally from the shower or like the pleasure that I'm experiencing right now just having this conversation with you. Yeah.
It's like that nourishment and getting almost lost in the moment where time evaporates and there's no rush. And I find like the more I can let myself access those moments in time where I'm being so present that I just continuously receive more and more than what I could ever imagine. And so I think for me, that's the biggest thing that I have to keep reminding myself of over and over and over again, is if I can just trust and like basically ignore all of the societal programming that I need to work hard and like focus on X, Y, and Z, that I just keep being present and keep enjoying my life as much as possible and following what feels really good. Not to say like there isn't challenges, and like sometimes challenges are really good and sometimes challenges can feel really good. So just following those callings, and then knowing that wherever I'm guided from there, it's going to be the right path in any given moment. That's kind of like a not totally clear answer, but the balance is really just like being present. That's the only steadfast thing that's there is presence.
Mm. Mm. You know how you talked about the two lives that you're like, you want this like abundant, luxurious life and then this really simple life? I feel like to me, both of those, because I think I've got a bit of the same thing. Like I want to be on an island and I want like no one to ever be around and I just want to be in my own space and like I can read my books and whatever. And then I want to be this like international speaker and travel around the world. But to me, both of them represent freedom, both yeah. of those. And so if you hold the freedom as the feeling state, you can feel free in no matter what you're doing. And I feel like for me, the epitome would be a life where I get to do that like world traveling to share my message, but it feels like I live on an island somehow. Like it feels that spacious and free and that I get to have like this beautiful sense of home everywhere I go, but free to have that everywhere. So yeah, so like if all we did, if anyone who is listening, if all you did was give up any idea of what you think you want and just focus on the feeling on the inside, I swear your life will become so much more magical just from that one thing.
And no, and like I think ultimately it comes down to like knowing and trusting, like you are worthy of that feeling. You are deserving of that feeling. You are enough to have that feeling exactly as you are now without having to earn it.
Mm.
Without having to shift and mold yourself or show up differently to be worthy of it. That's like a really key piece because there's still a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I know that enjoyment right now would like my guidance is like, go do this. And I'm like, I have resistance to it. It's like, there's something that sometimes will like pull us away from the thing that we're really being guided to do or that really will bring us enjoyment and pleasure. So also being observant of that and knowing like, oh, like what's going on behind the scenes here,
mm.
being curious to explore that.
Yeah. So when I did my European pilgrimage just recently, you might have seen on Facebook, I noticed so much my upper limit around how good I thought I was allowed to feel. So we've talked about this before on the podcast, but I want to go into it because it's so relevant to what we're talking about now, in that it doesn't have to be that you are afraid of earning too much money or being too successful or having too much love, but it can actually be just like you're afraid of feeling that good. And I spoke to a friend just last night and he was like, I feel so good and everything feels like it's going great. And then this voice comes in and it's like, when are you going to stop feeling this good? It's going to fall apart at some point. And I was like, so then you stop feeling good instantly because you're afraid then that you're going to stop feeling good. So already you're out.
Yes.
So what do you do? Because like we can't just, I haven't found a way to just like ignore that voice and like get rid of it in one shot. It's a like continual, oh, I see you and I'm not going to let you stop feeling like stop me from feeling good. How do you gently and with compassion navigate that upper limit every time you're like, is it okay to feel this good for this long?
Yes. It's fascinating how much that shows up. It's like future tripping, right? Like I have a lot of money now, but like, or I have enough right now, but what if it goes away? Or I feel really good now, but what if that ends? I'm really in love right now, but what if that stops? So it's so easy to get caught up in that future trip instead of just being present in that moment. For me, it kind of depends on like how extreme that resistance or upper limiting is showing up. Sometimes it's really subtle and it's just a matter of like you said, like I see you. You know, I hear you. I know what you are. I acknowledge you. And like, I'm gonna keep going. Like, this is mm-hmm. what I'm here to do right now. And I'll just keep going through that acknowledgement. It's not like an ignoring or a pushing away or this doesn't exist. It's more of like, oh, I see you. Like, cool. Thanks for showing up. and I'm focused on this right now. Like, I'm going in this direction. So that's when it's like the little voices, you know, that show up. For when it shows up a little bit more intensely, then I find journaling typically tends to be my go-to to really like process through the thoughts that are coming up and the belief systems that are underlying those. So that's the main one that I've been practicing probably for the longest, is just stream of consciousness writing, asking myself questions and answering them, and really just diving deeper into whatever is happening situationally. And that tends to make it not last so long. I can usually move through it pretty quickly if I'm acknowledging it and just like having that conversation with it, rather than getting really caught up in it and trying to either push through or staying, just like letting that run the show. Simple. I mean, they're not like crazy practices. They're very simple. It's just a matter of doing them.
Yeah. And having the awareness, like that's the key. If you can see it for what it is, then you can do something about it. But I had you know how you talked about like just like that little voice that was coming up? I had that while I was overseas, and then I had this like week and a half maybe, which I feel like in my world, a week and a half of pure bliss like is amazing, because I reckon every 4 days I'm like, whoa, next layer of something to clear. So a week and a half was incredible when I got back. And then what happened is I manifested stuff outside of me to use to keep myself feeling like I wasn't, like, you know, not feeling the best. So only this weekend I was in an event with Ricky Jane, one of my mentors, Ricky Jane Adams, by the way, just in case anyone wants to look her up. And she took us through this guided meditation where we had like orbs of light under our arms, and we just like got taken up and up and up. It was so beautiful. And as I was going up, like I looked down in my mind's eye, of course, and I looked down and I was like, I could see how like I'd projected stuff onto other people, which actually I'm so clever that like it's also a part of something I can learn from there. So I was like, what can I learn from this? And what can I learn from this? But actually I was using each of those things like a safety blanket, and I was like pulling up like, this person did this, or I manifested this, what can I learn from this? Pulling them all up and hiding in my little safety blanket and being like, oh, I can't feel that good because I've got these things to learn. And that awareness was so key. I was like, do I want to learn like the lessons and like really get caught up in whatever this is? Because I was still attempting to learn the lesson and clear through it. Like it didn't look like an upper limit, because I was like, yeah, just the next layer of something I need to learn. But I actually had like spent so much energy and focus on those things, and I could just see myself like, it was like, yeah, you can stay here, or you can just like rise above it and just not even like, just choose love.
Yeah. I think that happens a lot in like the personal growth community. It's almost like our comfort zone can be working on the things, like hyper focusing on like, I need to heal this and go through this. And that, like you said, exactly like you said, can be a default almost to prevent ourselves. Overworking can be a default. Like, so I think for me, another thing that I'm just noticing as you're talking with the journaling is also having awareness on how my ego shows up. Like, what are the sneaky patterns that start to show up? Because usually, especially with this kind of stuff, our ego like really speaks to the part of ourselves that wants to hear certain things. So for me, like my resistance will all often show up in the form of like, oh, this will be really pleasurable for you. Like, cause it knows that I love pleasure. So it'll like steer me in that direction of like, this will feel really good. Like eating a pizza right now will like, that'll be really pleasurable. And it's like, I know that that's going to make me feel sleepy maybe, or something like that. It's like really identifying how our ego shows up and like presents those resistances most often, and what that voice sounds like is really helpful as well, because sometimes it can be a sneaky bugger.
While you're saying that, I'm like, how do I do that? Mine is, I often am tired. So if I'm like, if I would like to upper limit myself, I'm like, oh, I'm really tired and I really need to look after myself, which is so, like, so hard to pick up, because that if I am really tired, I really do want to look after myself. So I'm like, yeah, well, we need to do that. What do you know? Can be like that. But often it's because I don't want to take the action that will actually give me what I really want. So sneaky. You're so right. It does.
I can relate to that one too.
What else? Let's keep digging. Like, let's let's take some time to do that. How else do I talk to myself? You can learn so much from this, in which I feel like there's this actually probably collective conditioning of we will learn so much from suffering, and we don't believe that we can learn as much from feeling good. And I have done like ecstatic dance classes that I learned so much from, and I felt so good while I was doing it. And I think that if there is pain is a part of life, like actual pain, it's a part, like, you know, like good, bad, we live in a world of polarity, but the suffering comes from a different part. I think the suffering comes from our resistance to what is, and I feel like we've decided that we need to learn through suffering as a collective. And that if you just had, imagine if you saw someone who stood on stage and they had a cruisy life, like their parents loved them, everything worked out really well for them, and they've like never had any challenges. I feel like we unconsciously would be like, oh, what can they teach me? And so then we're like, I'm going to manifest shitty things in my life so that I can teach other people or have some kind of contribution to the world. What if that person actually just figured shit out and we didn't?
Yes. You're like tapped in right now. That's something that I would love to talk more about, because I was just at an event and I heard so many of those stories, like the struggle to like, I worked through it and I got here. And I had to acknowledge both to myself and on stage, like, my journey is just as valuable without having gone through the struggle. And like, my message is just as valuable without having to like have gone through the struggle. And it's true. Like, our brains are naturally associating of like, oh, it's easy for her. Or like, you know, we downplay the ease, we downplay like the natural gifts. And that's something that I kind of want to see stop, because I mean, there's definitely value in going through the struggle and getting to the other side. Like, that's a powerful, motivating thing, but it's also not necessary. I think that's an old story that we've been taught, that that's necessary for us to learn something or to motivate others or to be a valuable story. That like, I'm not playing into that anymore, because I've been to so many events where the whole time is just like these stories about pain and suffering. And some of them are really helpful for me, but sometimes it's like, it gets like really heavy listening to story after story like that. And it's like, no, like, I'm going to be okay being the person that shares, like, my life actually always has felt really good. And I am really lucky. And I've probably lived 11 lifetimes working through all the other stuff so that now it can be like this. Mm. And letting that be an inspiration and hope, rather than only showing the other side of the spectrum.
Yes. Oh, so as someone like, so you teach like pleasure and ease, right? And if you had a life where you had the opposite of that and then learned, I would listen to you. And if you have had a life where you have had pleasure and ease your entire life, I'm still going to listen to you. Like, either way, you have learned something that I would like to learn more about. And so I believe that we all need to honor whatever it is that we've been through. And like, you know, and I've had stuff that has gone wrong in my life, and I don't think that I chose like the easy path straight up. Unfortunately, my soul did not choose that. But like, and I can honor that, and I'm grateful for that. Like, I wouldn't change anything that has ever happened to me, because I'm so grateful for it. And yet, even if I was like out of the womb straight up this person right now, that would be amazing too, and I wouldn't have needed to go through all those lessons. So I just think, yeah, that we need to let go of this attachment to suffering like it is a badge of honor.
Yes. Yeah, you don't need to stay there in order to like earn, like, exactly, coming back to this piece, like, you don't have to sacrifice and suffer in order to earn the other end.
Yeah. And even I've noticed recently that I've got like a full month this month. It's so like, so many exciting things are happening, and that I've heard this little voice inside of my head, and even my mom said it to me this morning on the phone, so like, maybe I just internalized her, and she was like, well, I guess that's what you do, right? Like, when things are growing, you just have to work a little harder. And I was like, I do not want to agree with that statement. But she was just vocalizing something that I've still got inside of me, because I really have, like, if people have wanted to have conversations with me about working with me, I've made extra time that would usually be my time. And in the time when I've got blocked out in my calendar to go and spend an hour in nature and I've got other stuff to do, I just stay and do the stuff that I've got to do. Like, I don't put my nature time above like getting the podcast out on time or whatever it is. And I also have this like amazing life where I go to like float tanks and yoga and nature. Like, I do it all so often, but there are still places where I am sacrificing what I know would bring me the most benefit in that moment, which obviously, if I'm in a good feeling state, creates the life that I want, but I'm still sacrificing. Yeah. So,
and it shifts and evolves too. Like, what worked for us at one point may not work for us at a later point. Sometimes we might need more self-care, sometimes we might need less. So I think it's important to also acknowledge that it's okay to like shift and change things, but to be super aware of those boundaries. Like, I've definitely fallen into that myself, where it's like, those days that I work are full. And so it's like, all of a sudden it's like, well, I really want to do this thing. This thing is really exciting and I want to do it, but Friday is like the only day that I could do it. So I guess I'll like sacrifice my creative time for that to come in. Mm-hmm. So it's not for a lack of like great, exciting things, which almost makes it a little bit like harder to like really stick to those boundaries. So I've been dancing with that myself and really like acknowledging like, no, those Fridays really do need to be just for me. Even if there's like the most exciting opportunity ever that shows up, like that can go the next week or the next week after that.
Yes. Like, I journaled just this morning. I love how everything is always so perfect when we do these podcasts. And everyone who listens, well, obviously I don't hear from everyone who listens, but a lot of people who listen to the podcast tell me that it was like the thing that they needed to hear that day, which of course is what we set the intention for. So that's amazing. So this morning I was like writing in my journal and I'm like, something needs to shift because I feel tired. And last week I didn't feel tired. And the week before that, I didn't feel tired. And just like noticing that I have filled my weeks with so much cool shit, but there's like too much that I feel like I can't just do whatever I want on that day. And so noticing that, especially because I'm about to leave the country. So there's so many people who want to catch up with me and I want to catch up with them. But like, and it's like all juicy stuff. And then how do you find like the ability to say no to such juicy stuff? I always feel like there's this sense of urgency around stuff. So it's like a really packed month. And then I'm like, yeah, next month when things slow down. And then it's like another pack. Like, it doesn't, I don't think it's going to stop. So how do you feel that we can like release that? I guess like, maybe prioritize what actually, like, how do you say no to cool shit? That's what I would like to know.
I'm still navigating this. It's like, sometimes there's just like the next level of cool shit that you're like, oh, that's so hard to say no to. So it's still real life. And I think sometimes it's okay to also, sometimes it's like that one thing that we just really do need to follow and like go for and sacrifice that, not sacrifice, but like trade that moment of this for this moment of that. And that's fine. I think that's okay to like give ourselves permission and not get hard on ourselves for that. While also like still honoring as much as possible our needs. So for those boundaries, I think it almost had to get, I think we actually operate really well by like getting to those edges, right? It's like, okay, I feel really great right now. And then I have to find that new edge of like, oh, like I can do two things on this day and the rest needs to be free. And then it's like, oh, actually, no, just one thing on this day and the rest needs to be free. And then it's like, oh, actually, no, the whole day just needs to be free. And like, we keep feeling like those little edges of tension, and those edges of tension, whether it's like feeling tired or feeling anxious or feeling overwhelmed, you know, whatever shows up for us, those are like wonderful signals that it's like, oh, great. Like just, you know, have a little tweak here, have a little tweak here. We don't have to stay there. And it's the staying there that causes that feeling to last, which is where problems start. But those feelings in and of themselves are like just great signals to be like, oh, great. Like time to like really listen in here. And so that's been the Fridays is like the easiest example for me, because that's what feels most present. Because that has been happening. I usually only work like 3 days a week. And now those days fill quite quickly. So it's easy for me to be like, oh, well, this exciting thing could go here, because I do have the time. So I think for me, the biggest switch that I had to have is it's not about the free time getting filled. It's about having the free time. Like for me, it is the free time that is the thing that I need to do, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing for me every week, is having that free space, spaciousness. And so instead of just having that be considered like a free day, it's like, no, this is my me day, and having that scheduled in, even if it's like hour by hour by hour, it's like, this is what I'm doing all day, so that it doesn't get downplayed as something that's not as important as a meeting with a client or an interview or whatever other exciting opportunity is showing up. Is like, no, it's equally as important, so that I can continue to do all of those other things.
Two really great pieces of advice there. The first one was, it's just contrast, like it's just an indicator, and to like just see that for the messenger that it is. And the second one, book in your time, like it is as important as being with anyone else, because if you made a date with someone else, you would be there, and you need to do the same for yourself. Oh, I feel like this is so pleasurable, and I could talk to you all day about pleasure. So good. We do need to finish up now, though. So can you share with everyone your how they can come and find you? Like, what is your website? What are you up to at the moment? All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to personally connect with me, have a little bit more interaction, Facebook is the easiest place to do that. My business page is The Business Joyologist - Allison Braun. And so you can send me a message on there. Or if you're into Facebook groups, you can join my Facebook group, which is Soulful Success Tribe, and introduce yourself there. Say hello. Let me know that you listened to this awesome interview. And then the easiest way to stay in ongoing touch is through my website, which is just Allison Braun, with Allison with two L's, AllisonBraun.com. And there's a bunch of free gifts on there that you can peruse through. There is one in particular that I'd love to share with you guys, which is just bit.ly/soulmoney, because that was something that I thought we might talk about today, what we didn't actually talk too much about today. So if you're interested in feeling the way that you want to feel in regards to money, I think you'll really dig that. So those are the main ways. Say hello. Amazing. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Alison.
I hope you enjoyed that just as much as I did. Alison is such a treat to spend time with, and to feel her energy is so pleasurable. And we did not stop there. We headed straight over after this to record the secret episode. Alison and I spent some time in an actual transmission of pleasure, and I know you're going to feel it. I'd love to hear your feedback if you do end up listening. And we talked about Alison's morning pleasure rituals, how she ends each day with a prayer of gratitude, how we've both been inviting more intimacy and affection into our relationships outside of the intimate relationship of monogamy that we all perceive is the one source of our affection. And the ritual that Alison does to invite in more spaciousness and pleasure into each moment. And finally, what she does with her very abundant free time. Think once you understand what you could be doing with your free time, you're going to create more of it. It was a very powerful secret episode, and you can get access to that and every other secret episode I've ever done over at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast and that you received something so valuable from it, whether it was the tangible stuff we talked about or the intangible stuff that you felt from it, but is just as powerful, if not more. And I would love for you to share this on your Facebook timeline, on Instagram, on whatever social media platform that you have, so that you can also make a difference to someone else and allow them to receive the gift that you just received listening. You telling other people about this really makes a difference to them and to the whole collective consciousness. So please do share. It would be such a gift to me and to them and to the world. Thank you for doing that. And if you have any questions, if you want to share what this has been like for you to listen in, share any of your insights, or just join other light workers who are raising the collective vibration of the planet, then please feel free to come and join us and hundreds of others at the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Lightworkers Rising, or you can just type Lightworkers Rising into the search bar and come and join us. We are so supportive of each other and so loving, and I know you're going to really benefit from having a tribe of people who are on the same journey as you. As always, if you have any questions or you want to find out more about me, you can go to aninspiredlife.com.au and find out more about what I do and even book a complimentary divine discovery session with me if it resonates. My name is Kiara Larry. I'm a divine change agent, and I am so honored to be taking this journey with you. Thank you for listening, and I will chat to you next week.